Good morning, Family Church. I hope you're well. So good to have an opportunity just to speak across the congregations for a moment this morning and introduce the next part of our discipleship journey. At the beginning of the year, we started a theme called Rooted. Our heart was to encourage our hearts and each other to not just settle for an encounter relationship with Jesus, but to have a discipleship relationship with Jesus, where we purpose in our hearts, we want to know him more. We want to be followers. We want to be learners. We want to be pupils. The analogy that we used when we taught the opening of this series was a person wearing an L plate or a P plate. Somebody saying, I still commit to being a learner. I don't want to be a know-it-all. I still commit to be somebody that wants to grow in their knowledge of God. Now, at the start of the year, we concentrated on two doctrines or two sets of teachings. The first one was called Jesus Is, and that was Christology, the doctrine of who Jesus is. We looked at the person of Jesus. We looked at who the Bible reveals him to be in the Old and in the New Testaments. Then we moved on to a series, our second series, called Jesus Saves. And that was called Soteriology. And it's the doctrine of salvation. We took a few weeks to study how incredible our salvation is, how wonderfully the Lord has saved us through what he achieved in the finished work of the cross with Jesus. Now we want to move on to our third part of our discipleship series, and we've called this Jesus Empowers. Its professional name is pneumatology, and it's the doctrine or the study of the Holy Spirit. A key verse for me as we spend the next 4 weeks looking at this subject is Acts 1, verse 8, where it says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples then, as he's speaking to us today, but you will receive power, ability, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, this small scripture, this small statement that Jesus made to the disciples contains so much good news for us today as people in the 21st century who are still saying, we believe in Jesus. We believe in what Jesus achieved and what Jesus promised he would do. Now, the first thing that we see is that Jesus hasn't just provided our salvation. That would be enough, wouldn't it? But in his salvation, he's given us a brand new life. He's given a fresh beginning. But also, this verse reveals that he's sent his Holy Spirit, his Spirit, to now infill and live in the life of a person who belongs to him. We could call that the presence of God. We could call that the anointing, the power, the ability of God, now living in those that have been saved by the shedding of his blood and the sacrificing of his own life. The second thing that excites me is that he would send his Spirit to come and live within us. How well he must have saved us to move us from a people that in the Old Testament had to have a curtain separating them from the Holy Spirit, from God's presence, to now being a people that God places his presence and his Spirit within. The truth is, that is how powerfully Jesus saved us when he went to the cross. He removed every law that kept us at a distance. He removed separation and brought us back in to the family of God. He made us what the Bible terms to be his body now on earth. The good news is he's filled his body, that's you and me, with his Spirit. This is amazing. The same Holy Spirit we read about in the Old Testament, the same Holy Spirit we read about in the book of Genesis, the same Holy Spirit that we read about that was there when Christ was conceived, when Jesus was risen from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that came upon the prophets in the Old Testament, upon warriors like Gideon in the stories that we've read since we were children. That same Holy Spirit has now been sent to come and live in the life of those who belong to God. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to zoom in on four key thoughts regarding the Holy Spirit. Number one, we're going to look in week one at the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. We speak about the anointing. The anointing is the power, the ability, and the presence of God that can be very much like a force. But the Holy Spirit, you see, is not a force. He's a person. The Bible reveals him to be the third person of the Godhead. Now, when we get to know the Holy Spirit, we're getting to know a person. You really can't build a relationship with a force, can you? With energy. But you can with a person. That's why it's important for us to understand who he is, what he's like, what he came to do, how we can know him, not just in the services we have together, but also in our private personal lives. The Holy Spirit wants a daily walk with you. He wants to lead you daily. He wants to empower you, teach you, and guide you and me on a daily basis. So week one, we're going to concentrate on who he is, what the Bible reveals about him. Week two, we're going to look at the subject of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I love one of the final greetings that Paul uses in his letters to a church, where he says, he speaks about the incredible love and the grace of the Father and of Jesus. But then he finishes by saying, I pray that you would know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. My question is, what did he mean by fellowship? Do we understand fellowship like we should? Do we realize that fellowship is actually the sharing of life with a person? And what the Lord invites us to know isn't random experience with the Holy Spirit, but a daily sharing of life with him. Imagine how powerful our lives can be when we're not doing it in our own strength, walking alone like we did before we knew God. But now we're leaning in, listening, being led by God's Holy Spirit that isn't just outside of us, in the omnipresence of who he is, but now indwelling in us as he was sent to do. Week three, we're going to move on and speak about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? What changes in our ability and our potential when the creator of the universe comes to live within the life of somebody that he gloriously saved? We're going to speak about how the power of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to overcome things like temptations that we may have known, things that had a strong hold on us, how the power of the Holy Spirit causes us to walk in freedom and wholeness and liberty, but also how the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of who he is now living within us, equips us and gives the ability to minister to others, to preach the gospel, to reach out and make a difference, to be the good Samaritans in the 21st century that God has called us to be. And then we're going to finish our series, week four, by looking at the subject of the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. This is a teaching that it's very important that every believer understands, that there's a difference between the fruit of the Spirit, which is the manifestation of the life of the one who now lives in you, and the gifts of the Spirit, which is the tools and the things that the Lord has given us to be able to make a difference on the earth. Now, there's two different lists. We're going to go through them over this week and look at what are the fruits of the Spirit. What should a life like the one that you and me live look like when we're joined to the vine, when we're branches joined to the vine of who Jesus is, when we have his nature and his life now living in us. We're going to look at certain things like joy and kindness as daily experiences in the life of a believer. But then we're going to concentrate, like I said, on the gifts of the Spirit. How can we use the gift of discernment? How does the gift of faith fit into our life? How does speaking in tongues benefit us? These are all, or a selection of the gifts that are mentioned by Paul when he gives a list of the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to take time to break down these gifts, not to make them theory, but to see how we can activate them in our lives. No matter if you've been saved for 400 years or whether you've been walking with Jesus a couple of weeks, the gifts of the Spirit are there for your benefit and the benefit of others. So this is going to be, I believe, an exciting leg of our discipleship journey together as we focus on the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What has he come to do? How does he empower us? How can our lives be radically transformed and different? Because he has now come to live, not just with us, but as Jesus said so well, with us and in us. Something great always happens when you acknowledge someone in the room. You know, sometimes you can go to a party and there can be a number of people in the room and somebody can be ignored. But when suddenly you move from ignoring them to actually acknowledging them, suddenly the good of what is in that person changes everything and brings a difference to those who are in the room. That's what we want to do over the next few weeks. We want to concentrate on the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to ignore him when he's not just in the room, but he's in our lives. We want to make a conscious effort to say, Holy Spirit, will you meet us in these next few weeks as we seek to know you more and understand what you've come to do? Would you meet us in this moment of pursuit? I'm really believing and I'm praying as a senior leader of Family Church that as we journey through these thoughts on who the Holy Spirit is, it won't just be teaching or head knowledge, but rather we would experience an outbreak of the Holy Spirit in our meetings. As we begin to move from ignoring him to acknowledging him, not only will we understand so that we can live in the good of what he's come to do, but also our services will move from one level to another because we've purposed that we're not going to ignore the one who was sent to do us good. So I hope you're excited. Buckle up, get ready for an exciting journey across our congregations. We're all going to start this series at the same time and cover the same thoughts. And I know we're going to be so blessed as we do. The Lord bless you.